the Public News Service Daily Newscast for December the 19th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Advocates for low-income families in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts say data shows direct cash payments to families help bring childhood poverty to a record low during the pandemic.
Programs such as the expanded child tax credit and stimulus payments gave families a few hundred dollars a month to help with child care, transportation, or groceries. Some 4 million children were lifted out of poverty. When Congress allowed the programs to lapse, child poverty rose by more than 40%. Former mayor of Boston, now president and CEO of Economic Mobility Pathways, Kim Janey, says pandemic-era policies worked.
Getting the cash, no strings attached, into these households is so impactful, and that we need to let families decide for themselves how to use the money because they know best.
Janey says the cash payments allowed struggling parents to better plan for the future and improve their mental health, knowing their children's basic needs could be met. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
And the final vote from the Georgia Public Service Commission tomorrow on Georgia Power's next 3-year plan. Danielle Smith has a preview.
After months of public hearings, the utility company and state regulatory staff reached a settlement agreement for the next rate hike for customers. It reduces Georgia Power's original request, which was close to $3 billion, to $1.8 billion. Charlene White with the Sierra Club Beyond Coal campaign says if the stipulated agreement is approved, it would go into effect on January 1st.
So what will happen is that the commissioners will review the stipulation and then vote. If they don't agree with everything in the stipulation, they have the authority to make motions for the entire commission to reconsider and vote.
White says the agreement covers the rate hike itself, how much money the utility can use for new infrastructure and general maintenance, and how much it gets to recover as profit. Georgia Power serves 2.7 million customers in almost all counties in the state.
Georgia Power recently announced it has completed the cold hydro testing phase for its Vogtle Unit 4. You have likely already heard that criminal referrals are expected today against former President Donald Trump. At the same time, CNN reports Representative Adam Schiff, member of the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack, said Sunday the panel is considering how to hold accountable the GOP lawmakers who defied their subpoenas. Schiff says we'll be considering what's the appropriate remedy for members of Congress who ignore a congressional subpoena, as well as the evidence that was so pertinent to the investigation and why we wanted to bring them in. This is PNS. An Iowa farm advocacy group wants the state's U.S. senators to oppose a deal to allow one of the world's largest pork processors to buy large parts of a southeast Iowa hog supplier. It is a deal that would expand so-called factory farming in the state.
Brazil-based JBS has agreed to buy parts of Tri-Oak Foods, one of the nation's largest pork suppliers. Tri-Oak already sells its hogs to JBS, but this sale would further integrate the two and consolidate an already shrinking number of producers. Hog farmer Barb Kalbaugh with the group Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement says this type of consolidation is one more blow to small farmers and, in her view, the worst possible example of vertical integration.
They own the pigs, farmers raise the pigs, and the pigs go to the JBS packing plant. And then JBS sells what they pack to our retailers across the country, grocery stores. Yeah. Starts with the baby pig and goes clear to the dinner table. They own it. And the more they own, the more they control.
Iowa CCI wants Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst, both Republicans, to push to invoke the Packers and Stockyards Act. It was signed into law in 1921 to ensure effective competition and integrity in livestock, meat, and poultry markets. I'm Mark Moran.
Meatpacking companies say deals like these allow them to become more efficient. With the new General Assembly session just around the corner, AARP Colorado is stepping up recruitment efforts for its legislative advocacy team.
Team Director Allison Hiltz is hoping that new technologies and rules established during the pandemic will make it much easier for older Coloradans who do not live in high population centers along the Front Range to make their voices heard.
We have this incredible opportunity now with virtual testimony at the Capitol to start bringing in voices that haven't traditionally had access to the process by going down to the Capitol and testifying in person.
I'm Eric Galatis.
And finally, our Eric Tanoff has an Idaho perspective as organizations across the country will be celebrating the anniversary of a nuclear weapons treaty in the new year.
The Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons bans their use, possession, testing, and transfer under international law. While enacted in January 2021, no nuclear-armed nation has signed it. Ralph Hutchison with the Oak Ridge Environmental Peace Alliance says the United States has expressed its opposition to the treaty.
It's a complete and total ban on nuclear weapons. You can't make them, you can't sell them, you can't deploy them. And the measure of the power of the treaty, to me, is how scared the United States government is of this treaty.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported. Here are some great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.